Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen talk radio show. Today is a special Valentine's Day broadcast. My guest for this morning is relationship and love expert, Carrie Valentine. Yes, you got it right. His last name is Valentine. Carrie and I will be discussing about his upcoming book, In Love Forever, 7 Secrets to a Joyous, Juicy Relationship. He will reveal ways to rekindle and transform any relationship back to the honeymoon days and beyond your wildest dream. Good morning, Carrie. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
Aloha, Johnny. I'm doing great. It's great to be here, and thank you for having me aboard.
Wonderful. Happy Valentine's Day to you, and I am excited to learn about the 7 secrets. So let us start by getting to know you a little better. Please give us a quick walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment.
Wow, that's a big one. Okay. I'll try to keep it brief. Well, the main things to share with our audience is that as a child, I was really, really shy and very sensitive and just felt out of place. Mm-hmm. I was so shy in terms of speaking that, my father actually called me Mumbles, not as a way of a negative thing. He was doing his best to try to get me out of speaking so softly. Mm-hmm. But that had a lot to do with my makeup of what was going on. But as I grew up, and we'll get into that. Getting into relationships seeing what my life was like from my family home, my parents had a funny way of showing their love for each other, which they did love each other, but there was a funny way, and that was screaming, hollering, and slamming doors. Now, some of us on this call might have a similar situation. I learned a lot about what I didn't want in my life, and yet I still didn't have the manual to how to have a happy, successful relationship and going through adolescence and early 20s and, making mistakes, getting my heart broken, hurting others, not intentionally, and but just through that process. And then, then I got involved with music, which we'll get into, I'm sure. And I met my partner Wendy at Berklee College of Music in Boston in the late 80s after I was planning to go on a trip for a year to Brazil. And I went to Brazil and lived there and performed and recorded and all of that. And then we got together after Brazil, and it was really awesome, intense, great friendship, great romance. Got involved with yoga and meditation. Years later, running an Ayurveda health retreat in Colorado. And then things fell apart. And it was like, how did this happen, Johnny? Like, we were best friends. Yeah. But one day, little by little, little by little, percolation. One day I woke up in the morning and was kind of looked over at her and said, like, who are you? And kind of like, who am I? And as I said, I'll get into more of those details. We worked very arduously for 4 years to really understand our own personalities and our own relationship. And yet prior to that, we had done therapy. We had done all kinds of things, but there were still stuff in the way, and that was, as I said, I'm excited to share with you about that. And then, let's see, moving forward real brief, Wendy contracted a brain cancer a few years ago, and that was after we were doing our relationship stuff and after the first initial phase of writing the book. And she was doing really, really well, even though the prognosis from the medical side wasn't good at all. And she passed on last year, and that really was, it really showed me a lot. It taught me a lot in many ways. And and actually has driven me to be more passionate to help others, because I see then feel the, you know, realize the pain that I've gone through in all of these phases in my life, and I'm now out of it. You know, I was, you know, pressed and dried up, and, you know, we were on the brink of divorce, and so much has now really transformed, and I'm just like, my heart bursts to just share with people. I'm like a, Ferrari sitting in a car, you know, a carport. You know, get me out there. Let me share with as many people as I can to help them out of and ease their pain and have the kind of life and the dreams that they're looking for. So I hope that you know, kind of gives a quick summary. And now I live in back and forth between Marin County and Hawaii.
Fantastic. That sounds really good. Sorry to hear about Wendy. Apparently you guys have a wonderful relationship and sort of a normal relationship where you have the up and down. And obviously you have personally gone through some epiphanies in life that was able to transform you to the person you are today. One quick question. When did you first start to feel the rhythm? Because you are a musician.
Yes, that's a great question, and I appreciate that. That goes back to being really shy and not speaking. I started playing drums at when I was nine, and actually the playing drums really helped me to speak, because for a long time that was my voice, and I kind of came out of that shyness by performing. And I was, you know, I just worked really hard at playing drums. I loved it. I played in school as well as, you know, I was playing in bars when I was 15, when I shouldn't have been there, I guess. But and I saw a lot, but, man, I had a wonderful time, and it really was fantastic to play music, which led me to a life now of playing music and performing all over the world.
That's fantastic. I know you are an award-winning international drummer percussionist. How has that transition from that to becoming a relationship coach and love expert embracing you?
Yeah, that's also a great question. You know, it's funny, as I reflect on that, you know, when musicians are having their break from their performance, let's say at a gig, and a lot of times they'll sit in the corner, talk shop about, you know, musical, you know, the latest modifications on our instruments and things like that. But for me, I never cared about that. I always was like, hey, how's it going in your life, you know, with my friends, you know, the other players? What's going on in your relationship? And that was always my driving thing. I think because as a child and as a young man, I was always seeking more. I had a very deep desire for happiness, and all I was unhappy. So I was like, how do you do this? And so I would listen a lot to, you know, people like Zig Ziglar and Leo Buscaglia and Dennis Waitley and Tony Robbins and all these. So that was such a big part of me. And then really how I got to where I am now is so much about my own experience from transforming my own life and pulling myself out of depression, which again, which I'd love to share with you later on about that, and also just wanting that love, you know, wanting that feeling of love, and like almost it was like how do you get it? Like where is it? How do you do this? So little by little, it all came to me, and so. It was a personal desire, and now for my own self, now sharing with dozens of couples, hundreds of folks about all this stuff. Yeah.
When did the idea for In Love Forever come about?
The idea or the book?
The idea.
The idea. Okay. So as I was saying, like in 2001, my relationship with Wendy, we just hit the wall. Like nothing that used to work was working anymore, and we had it's just like serendipitously, friends from of ours contacted us and was telling us about some ideas that they were working on about patterns of the mind, and we just we just were really taken by what they were doing. So Wendy and I packed up our stuff. We were in Colorado. We moved to Idaho, and they have an 80-acre wildlife refuge. And we, for 4 years, really worked ourselves. Mm-hmm. And through that process, Johnny, I realized I created a factory of miserable bricks.
that
my thoughts were mostly negative. And I was dealing constantly with negativity in, like, the inner demon was always negative about myself. So after those 4 years, I really understood about the negativity of how I did that. But then I was, so it was like in about 2005, 2006, I really realized and said, you know, I've now researched myself and understand how I'm creating, how I created my life and went down the miserable track.
Yeah.
How do I create the positive track, the happy track? And then that's how, just that question, just that desire, because I had no idea at that point, Johnny, how to do it. But that opened the door to like Pandora's box. And all of a sudden, things kind of were downloaded into my consciousness and things started coming through me intuitively to really how to create in love forever. And that's really, that's not just a title. That's not just a phrase. That's real. And it's real in my life. And it's real from those who take on these specific tools or secrets, we call them. Yeah.
Fantastic. What is the main ingredient in the book?
Ah, that's a good question. As we're sitting here around Mama's kitchen, you know, you and I talking. that's a good question. There's lots of spices here. I would have to say, in really thinking about that, that, you know, who makes us happy? Only ourselves.
Yeah.
And who makes us sad? Only ourselves. And so when it comes down to it, it's a choice. It's a choice to realize that what is happening in our everyday life, no matter where we come from, no matter what our childhood has been, no matter our situation, it's really we have to take responsibility. And from taking that responsibility for our life, then things can really begin to shift and change. And when you start shifting and changing, the realization was, you know, again, just going down that dark track for a second, you know, when I was feeling that depression and stuff, I never, no matter how far and deep down the well of despair I got, I never saw like a Bugs Bunny sign that said, hey, Harry, only 10 feet left of misery.
Yeah.
It was a free fall, you know, there was no limit. But that's the exciting thing. There's also no limit on the joy factor, on the happiness, on feeling ecstatic for life, and the amount of love you can have in your life. So those, I would say, are the main ingredients.
Very interesting. Why do you suggest couples can benefit from having an affair with each other?
Whoa. Ah, you sure it's just with you sure it's with each other?
that's what my understanding is from what you're trying to get across this morning.
Yes, it is. It is having an affair with each other. Well, you know, it's especially for long-term relationships. You know, anyone who's in a long-term relationship knows the, like you shared earlier, Johnny, the ups and downs of it all. And in a long-term situation, you really have to keep it juicy. You have to intend, you have to take action to make it that way. And so I think it's just a wonderful idea to have an affair with your partner. And it really enkindles a relationship that's a little stale, you know? And even a good relationship, and even one that there's a lot of great intimacy, physical intimacy, you know, just the thought of, you know, what the ideas of people having an affair, you know, taking, you know, going on a secret getaway and telling your partner to take only certain clothes, but not tell them where you're going. And this is the cool thing. Anyone can do this in any budget. You know, it doesn't have to be extravagant. And then, you know, just planning, you know, a few days or a week prior, you know, texting, or we can call sexting to one another, like, can't wait to, you know, take you away. And then, you know, it's funny, during Valentine's Day too here, I'm doing different interviews, and I had a interview with a radio station up in Montreal, and it was great. The listeners called in, and one said their partner met them in a bar, because we were talking about the affair idea, and met them in a bar with a trench coat and nothing else underneath, as if she was a pro or a prostitute kind of thing. And then they, you know, swiftly went up to the hotel room. So, and there's a little bit of that. I wouldn't say dirtiness, but risqueness to that idea too of having an affair, or you know, buying some sexy clothes and things like that too. So, that's just the tip of the iceberg, kind of.
Very interesting. So, what are the seven secrets to a joyous, juicy relationship?
Yeah. Well, with our time today too, I'll may go over. Let's. Just like the top three, and then we'll see if later we have more time for that. Because, I would say the first is let's get real, you know, and that's like the power of transparency. Mm-hmm. And transparency is like really being honest and just divulging your whole self. And, you know, at that time, just to go back to my relationship with Wendy at that point when things fell apart, we were together about 13 years at that point. And yet there were still things she didn't know about me and things I didn't know about her. It was almost like don't cross that imaginary thought line. But then we realized in order to really transform our relationship and get it back to, you know, being on fire and on purpose and clear and intentional and full of love, we had to dig up, you know, the stuff that we were scared, we put under the mat, kind of speak, and to talk about it. And when we did, it first was like we were putting our foot in the water, like kind of our little toe first, like, is this going to be okay? And we talked, and what I mean by that, at that point, we talked about our what it was like for each other the first time we were with each other physically, or what we had deeper ideas about how to please each other physically, or people we were attracted to, you know, superstars or, you know, actors, you know, just like kind of really getting really honest, and then many other things. But the fun thing about that, Johnny, was within 5 minutes, we were laughing like little kids. And we were like, I can't believe we never, you know, talked about this stuff. So it's really, you know, that's a very powerful thing. It's like, get real, get transparent. I sometimes say, get naked, you know, because that's what it is. So that's the first one. And the second, I would say, again, what I call secrets or tools. I interchange them. So these are tools, but they're secrets because a lot of us don't know that they exist, or we don't know how to use these kind of tools. And so the second is that what you don't know will hurt you. So what you don't know will hurt you. And that's the power of communication and tools. Like, there's three different levels here, and I'll just really brief that over. That the first level I call sandbox talk, and that's when, like, you're just kind of walking on the beach, kind of talking, you know about, you know, things about your relationship, but not so deep and or not like pressing in, and really creating that space. And the second is called transcribing, and that's really when you are beginning to have an argument, and when one of the partners is not hearing, is not listening to what one of the other partners is having to say, and you kind of like give a funny response, and it's like, you're not listening to me. It's because they're either, you know, working on their computer, their mind's in some other place, and they're not focused. So transcribing is a really just like that. You take like a sentence by sentence, and you just repeat back what each what one person is saying. Or the listener, and then you kind of go, did I say that right? And yes, okay. You know, that's a brief thing. So you kind of understand what one person is really saying. And then, and that really is very helpful. And then the third part is the capsule, which is when you do have a blow up and you are really pissed off and angry, and your mouth is salivating, and you literally create what I call a capsule around you, the two partners, and you create a safe space for the person who's really pissed off to express. And in the person who's listening, they just listen to what the person who's speaking has to say. And from that, you may hear your name as the listener being, you know, like, I'm so pissed off at you, so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. But in that, you really hold the space for their partner to let it rip, and you don't take it personal in that part. And then there's a process where you, you know, there is a blaming aspect to it, but then at the end, the person who is really angry does need to take responsibility. And so this is, you know, I'm giving a short version of it all, but basically that's a great way to argue and fall more in love with each other than, you know, arguing and slamming the door and leaving the room kind of thing. And then the other major one that I'll share about right now is that having doubts is the best thing for you, that doubts are your best friend. And I would love, as we go into this, to share a little bit more about what I mean by that. And that basically learn to turn our doubts inside out. And the negativity in our head, the things that we hear about, oh, I'm not beautiful enough, oh, I gained an extra 5 pounds, I don't really feel like making love, these are generally around women. People hear that. For men, it's a lot of times, you hear in your head, you're not going to be successful enough, that new business venture isn't going to work out, you don't please your partner in an intimate way, these kind of things. These are actually, what you hear is not true. The opposite is true. And you have to learn to turn it around. And so when you hear you're not beautiful, the truth is you are beautiful. But the question is, do you believe it? And that's why the doubts have come. They're our messenger. They're our memo to say, hey, yoo-hoo, you got to start putting this in. And for most of us, we just kind of try to defend or block, deal with the challenges that come up as head on, you know, like take it for face value. And that's the thing. Never anymore take those doubts for face value. And because In another little interesting thing here as we go forward is the word doubt, Johnny. When you re-scramble that word, you get two words. You get T-O-B-U-D, to bud. So it's like to blossom, to grow. So the doubt comes not to take us down. The doubt comes to rise us up. Like a lotus flower coming out of the murk and mire of a pond, and then it just blossoms. And that idea alone will transform your life if you understand the specific steps in this, and maybe we'll get into that in our talk. That changed my life.
That's fantastic. Well, so I want to play a wonderful music called Amor. This is something that you have provided for us, and it's the right timing, and then we'll come back after the music to talk some more about In Love Forever.
Thank you.
Mi alma la más querida, le traje traicionó la perdida caramba. Qué ingrato y mal procede, ella me hizo beber, ella me hizo un perdido, a la droga me tiré, amigo mío, y a la cárcel fui llevado. Los amigos me olvidaron, solo mi madre lloraba, pedía a Dios y rezaba, pa' que se salvara su hijo. Recuerden lo que les digo, que en la prisión y en la cama, solo nuestra madre nos ama, caramba. Amigos, ¿dónde trajo pa' compadre? Que este cantor de comida, y aunque a ustedes no le importe, les contaré la historia de mi vida. Amé mucho una mujer, de mi alma la más querida, me traicionó la perdida cara.
It's a wonderful song, fantastic.
Thank you, Johnny.
Yeah, I like that. I could hear the percussion playing in the back there.
Ah, I wonder who that guy is. And, that was my buddy Tony Ozana that I met when I was in Brazil, who was singing. And he, fascinating thing, he's an amazing, amazing musician. He built this guitar that is a guitar and a bass, and he plays guitar and bass at the same time. So what you hear on that track is just the two of us, him singing, playing guitar and bass, and me playing percussion. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
It's a song about, a song about love,
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Love story.
In Love Forever is a long time for couples, especially for those people right now that are having families and so forth. There are many challenges that they go through, and the national statistics shows that the divorce rate are well over 50%. What kind of commitment do people have to make this work?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, they do need to make a commitment. And it's kind of, I look at this as almost as like a commitment that someone has for their business. Mm-hmm. You know, would anyone, rent a storefront shop, put in all the computers, bring in the materials, hire the people, put in the telephone lines, whatever is needed to run the business, and never show up and think that the business is going to be successful? No, right?
Yeah.
But so many of us, especially after we have that hot and steamy time, if it is in our relationship at the beginning, that beginning romance, we often cool off and just kind of forget about caring for one another and just kind of go about our ways. And little by little, we lose that specialness and that care. So if you really want that success in your relationship, just like you put time and energy into your work or your business, you got to make that commitment and to your partner. And the beautiful thing here, it's not hard. This is just new, It's new for most of us to learn the tools, learn the proper tools to keep it juicy. And, it's interesting, too. Like, I work with a lot of couples, but also a lot of individuals looking for a relationship. And the thing that always surprises me for those who are looking for a relationship is the main core that they're wanting is constantly they share about they're wanting that companionship. They're wanting someone to spend their life with. Marriage may or may not be what they're interested in, but they want someone to, you know, go to the movies with, have a meal with. Of course, you know, the hugs and the touch and the
right.
But something to share their day-to-day life with. And we got to get back, for most of us, in our thinking to how we were when we first were dating our partner.
Mm-hmm.
And think about that. And think about how we treated each other and how we cared for each other. Here, I'd love to share this little idea.
Yeah.
This cracks me up, and I hope it does our listeners too. Think about, you know, how many people have dogs, right? When you come home or you see this from your friend as you go to their house if you don't have a dog, and you come home from wherever you were, whether it was 5 minutes or 15 hours, your dog greets you, jumping all over, happy, wagging his tail, kissing you, licking you. And you, the owner, is like, you know, talking, oh, hey, blah, 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 it's great to see you, and always in a good mood. I mean, how many times, really, does a dog owner, even if they've had a bad day, you know, close the car door, the dog's meeting them at the door, and they're just like, oh, you know, so-and-so, leave me alone. I've had a bad day today. No, they actually, most people really look forward to meeting their dog, right? To kind of get that comforting. Well, what if we as humans started acting like our dogs, our relationship with our dogs? You know, it is funny, Johnny, when you look at life, and I see so many people with dogs. In some cases, many people have the better relationship with their dogs than humans. And I'm like, this is a great key to look at this and to, you know, to really see that no matter what our day is like, what would it be like to just every time we see our partner, we just wag our tail, ready to kiss them and hug them and just say, you know, everything's good no matter what's going on in our life. And that idea in its own will change things radically.
That, my friend, is called unconditional love.
Yeah. I bark to that. Yes. And that's another key element here, Johnny, is that we have to look to want to give more love to our partner than ourselves.
Right.
And even if, and especially if they're not giving us the love that we want from them, give them the love. Shower them with that love.
Yeah.
And you will see a transformation happen for yourself. So, yeah, it's, a wonderful thing to really do that. Because, again, as we go back to how we started today, who can make us happy? Who can make us unhappy? Just ourselves. Now, it's a great thing being in a relationship because we can't hide.
Right.
You know, we're in front of our partner all the time, and our ups, you know, our good sides and our bad sides come out. What a wonderful thing! Let's grow together. Let's learn to relate together. And no matter how bad things are, if you want it, here's the thing, Johnny. That is another piece. I'm just so excited. I'm on a love revolution. You know, a very peaceful one. That I'm just putting it out there to all the listeners to join me in this love revolution, to learn to love ourselves and then, you know, pull out all the stops, turn the things that we don't like about ourselves, turn it around, and then we are then going to fill our cup, and then we'll have more to overflow to our partners or our family and our community.
Fantastic. Do you see a shift in couples' attitude regarding relationship that is having a desire of wanting to work on the challenges rather than just leaving to start a fresh relationship with someone new?
That's a really great question, and it depends on the demographic too, I think, and your age. That's what I'm meaning. I think due to the way the younger generation are moving and with the technology and things, my sense is on that part, there's a lot of in and out of relationships and not much patience because I think, A, they don't have the tools, and B, it's easy to do, you know?
Right.
For people who are older than, you know, than that, it's still, I see it, you know, people, I think a lot of people are going in and out of relationships, but it's only because they're just not sure and they don't know how to work the initial relationship and work out the challenges. And, you know, it's easy to fall in love, but it's easier to fall out of love.
Mm-hmm.
And it just really takes one thought, one doubt, one judgment of something your partner said to really crush your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something that I learned from a great spiritual teacher of mine years ago, and he said that every time we judge ourselves, we break our own hearts. And contemplate that. It's so
mm-hmm.
true.
Mm-hmm.
In the emotional feeling body. And I think that's really, you know, a big part of this, that our feelings get hurt and we just don't know how to respond properly to our partner or communicate it. And so in those cases, people sometimes, you know, say, vai embora, I'm out of here, instead of working it out. But the problem is, in that plan, guess what? You find another relationship and the same problem happens. So at some point, we, you know, it's like we can run, but we can't hide. We got
mm-hmm.
to, if we want to, work it out. And that, again, Johnny, is
yeah.
pain is such a great teacher to us.
Right.
And life is not trying to hurt us. It's just trying to say, what is it going to take for you to turn your life around and to get back into your heart?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very
so
true.
So it's up to us. The key thing is, you know, coaching couples and singles for many years now, as well as my own life, that
mm-hmm.
I've seen no matter how bad things are, if, that powerful two-letter word, Johnny,
mm-hmm.
if
mm-hmm.
people really want to bring their relationship back from the dregs,
mm-hmm.
or let's say it's that bad, they can do it. And
mm-hmm.
I've seen it. And it's so amazing to be in that process and see a couple come back. And as I said, it happened in my own life. And that's
mm-hmm.
what gave me the confidence and the proof that, you know, no matter whoever's listening here, no matter
mm-hmm.
whether they're not in a relationship right now or want to be or in one that's not really serving them the way they want it to be,
mm-hmm.
the good news is you can turn it around. And, and you can have it. So it's just how much, I say sometimes, how hungry, how thirsty
mm-hmm.
are you
mm-hmm.
to find and rejuvenate the love in your own heart to love your partner again and again and again.
Wonderful. What you're saying is basically you have to make that conscious choice, whether to move
yes.
forward or to move backwards or out in this case. And so
yes.
you were saying that, you know, if you made that commitment, everything changes, because change comes from within, not from outside, but from within you.
Beautifully said, yes, totally. The desire
mm-hmm.
for transformation, you bet.
Very interesting. What are some of the major challenges that couples face in their relationships that would stop them from experiencing that joyful, juicy relationship you talk about?
That's a fantastic question. Let's touch upon them. I think top note is communication. You know,
mm-hmm.
even though that,
mm-hmm.
Relationship experts and financial experts out there would say finances, especially
yeah.
the challenges of economics in a lot of families these days, is the number
mm-hmm.
one reason why relationships aren't working.
Yeah.
I disagree with that, because
mm-hmm.
I think communication causes us to have the financial problems, because if we are challenged financially and sit down and talk about it,
mm-hmm.
no matter, again, how bad things are financially, you can work together and find
right.
a solution. So communication, I'd say, is number one.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say two is intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Intimacy in emotional intimacy and
mm-hmm.
intimacy in lovemaking. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, here's something that women may or may not know, but for guys...
Mm-hmm.
Having that physical intimacy is really important. It's something physiological with us. To,
mm-hmm.
It's almost, if I can say this, is like our guy's penis is his heart, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's almost, the head's almost shaped like a heart, you know? And it's really, whether he's aware of it or not, that is an external connection to his heart. And so...
Mm-hmm.
That's really important. Mm-hmm. And yet, there's a lot of confusion there because guys really need to also understand in order to, you know, really get what they're looking for, mm-hmm. and the juiciness, they need to really understand. It's important and imperative that they warm their partner's heart and mind, and they show her that they care for her and treat her well and do beautiful things and want her to be happy. Because if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right?
Right.
So here, it's cool for guys to be lovers. And that's another piece, like whoa, really? You know, and especially, mm-hmm. you know, we don't, in our culture, it's not cool. You know, it's not cool for guys to, you know, to publicly talk about love or their care. And yet, you know, get them intimately and they'll talk about it and how much they do care for their partners. So, you know, that's, again, a comfortable thing to really keep the lovemaking juicy and interesting and desire, as I said, desire to please the other more than yourself. And I'd say, you know, finances, that's for sure a difficulty, mm-hmm. and you got to understand your personality. Are you a spender or are you a saver? Mm-hmm. And, you know, how are you both? Like, mm-hmm. does one spend and one save? And you just got to mm-hmm. talk it out, figure out a budget, figure out
right.
a plan. You can do that. Another piece that comes in the way is chores, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
You know, expectations mostly, like, you know, it's not clear who's to do what. But if you get clear and get organized, write it down, it's no big deal, and make it equitable, and then the resentment doesn't build. And then the fifth thing comes back to the first thing, is not prioritizing the relationship. And, you know, many people who have kids, their own relationship is on the back burner. It's last. You got to turn that around. That's got to be number one, because from the main core, the man and the
mm-hmm.
female,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sure we're talking to a wide audience. That's just, you know, I'm fine with female and female, male, male, whatever works for you. I'm just
mm-hmm.
used that term. As a mom and dad, your relationship is number one, and the kids are, even though they're important, you care for them, and there's a lot of things that you need to do to take care of them financially as well as time responsibilities. I bet you too, if you interview your kids, they want you as a couple to be happy,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
There again, get back to having an affair with your partner. You know, have a weekend getaway, have
mm-hmm.
date
mm-hmm.
night.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make it top note, because it's just like the foundation of a house. If
mm-hmm.
the foundation's weak, I don't care how beautiful the shingles are. If a strong wind comes, it's going to blow over.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's the same like us in a relationship.
Very interesting. Well, we're going to pause for a minute and listen to your second song, which is kind of interesting. It talks about God and faith. The title of the song is Tupa Tupa, if I pronounce it correctly.
Yes, Tupa, yeah.
Fantastic.
Tupa, tupa, un baile todos nos. Tupa, tupa, yo voy.
It's a wonderful song. Tell us a little bit more about the song.
Yeah, this is a song, Tupah, that Tony wrote. Tupah is the name kind of a creator god for the Guarani Indians, Native Americans in South America. And that was actually, that song was a pretty big hit in Europe a few years back. And that, and of mixing it in with Brazilian, you know, instruments, samba instruments, and Tony's wife and child were part of the chorus in that too. So it was quite a great, powerful connection. Yeah,
fantastic. What are the three essential things couples can do today to put the juice back in their relationship?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. Yeah, well, there's so many, but let me think on that. So I would say first is to touching throughout the day without making love. You know, making that physical contact that really says in an unspoken way that I really care for you and I really you really mean a lot to me. I would say the next is making a lot of eye contact when you're talking with each other. And you can really feel each other of what's being said, again, in a through verbal and nonverbal ways. And the third, I'd say, is plan weekly dates, you know, that make, regardless if you have family or not, that's such an important thing. And utilize that time not just to go out to dinner and, you know, go to a movie or things like that, but that's great. But also utilize the time to really be vulnerable, share passionately about your dreams, your doubts, your fears to each other. Because really, you know, again, the if you're going to be in relationship, that's the most valuable investment you have. And people may say, yeah, right, Carrie. And I say, okay, well, here's the thing. Either use your time. You know, I'm busy. I don't have time to make a date with my partner. You know, we're so busy working. I say, okay, here's the deal. What would you rather do? Create the time and think about where to create a date with your partner or make a date with a divorce attorney? You answer the question. Because if you don't, you're more than likely going to end up there. And that's way more expensive than creating that date with each other to keep it kindled and, you know, financially, emotionally, how it breaks up families. We all know this stuff.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, I haven't met a couple yet that got married so that they can get divorced.
Right, right. Well, what you focus on will always grow. And so if you focus on your relationship with your spouse, your significant other, your lover, obviously that relationship will certainly grow. So that's just the nature of the law, so to speak. Where can someone go to get more information about you and keep up with your latest happenings?
Okay. Let me share a few different pieces, if I could, Johnny. So you can get some information about me at carryvalentine.net, and that's C-A-R-Y. And then Valentine, just like valentinesday.net. And you can also get a – I'd like to give some – really, I'm just in the Valentine mood today.
All right,
so
I want to
give some offerings to our listeners today. You can get a free special report, things that I'm talking about today in more in depth with you, Johnny, from excerpts from the book that really great tools and tips and ask really good questions about yourself, whether you're in relationship or preparing for one, or, you know, things for your partner, and really go deeper. So that people can get at inloveforever.com. So again, that's all spelled out, inloveforever.com or inloveforever.com. And I like to do this. For the first five people who get that, I'd like to offer a free 35-minute Renew Your Relationship coaching session, where we could, you know, personally talk about the challenges that are going on, set up an action plan, work out, see what's in the way that's slowing you down or stopping you from having the relationship of your dreams, and then end the session with such inspiration and action. So I'd love to offer that to whoever, the first five people listening today that go to inloveforever.com and get the free special report, that I'll offer that. And then for those who get this, because I know not everyone will hear it today, and for in the next month, I'll do a random choice of five other people that get the relationship report. And you put in your email address, and that's how I get in touch with you. So I'd just love to do that. I just love helping people, Johnny.
Fantastic. That's wonderful.
Not everyone, believe it or not, is all this computer savvy and stuff. And if it's easier just to call me, feel free. You can reach me at 808-346-6652. Again, 808-346-6652. And just remember, I'm in Hawaii, so I'm three to 5 hours sooner than you if you're in the East Coast or in the West Coast.
That's very true. Very true.
Yeah.
Wonderful. We're coming close to the end of the show.
Mm.
Do you have a recipe for living you would like to share with our listeners this morning?
Wow. Gosh, that's a lot there. As a matter of fact, I'd like to do a Valentine's Day challenge.
Mm-hmm.
This will be the recipe for Valentine's Day's coming up. And during Valentine's Day, because this will encompass what I would say in the recipe, Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
During Valentine's Day, you know, I offer this challenge. For the whole day, only allow and put in positive thoughts about yourself. And if you hear a negative, you know, something again in the inner, you know, in your head, hearing, saying something negative as you get dressed or whatever, just catch it and say, nope, not buying that today. putting in the opposite. I am beautiful. I do look good in those pants. And so use the day as a challenge to only say positive thoughts about yourself or affirmations and loving thoughts about yourself, your partner or a partner-to-be, your family, your coworker, your community. And before going to bed on Valentine's Day, reflect on the day. Reflect on how you felt by living up to that challenge and only saying positive thoughts to yourself. And if you liked it, or not, try to do it again the next day. And then choose to be more in love with yourself and life each and every day. And I would say even extend it out. Do it for a month and then reflect back in a journal or how you were on a weekly basis and see how much has changed, see how much has transformed. And you could even give it a scale from 1 to 10. Another piece I want to say about that is if you do plan an intimate dinner on Valentine's Day with your partner and, you know, you are planning or thinking to, you know, kind of be physical, intimate that night, here's a suggestion. Do that before you go out to dinner. Because make that dinner reservation later. You might be in a room less people anyway. Because what often happens is people have dinner, they have some wine, they're a little tired, you know, and they get home and they're too tired. Where here, have it beforehand, then enjoy the glow of the experience of pleasing each other when you're out to dinner. So that's a great thing. And then, you know, the other piece, Johnny, that I have to be really honest and transparent, and that's the thing that I really choose to be in my life with people, is when Wendy passed, that really changed me forever. You know, we hear about people being grateful, and I would say that too in my life. Oh, I was grateful for my life and things, but never until she passed and going through the grieving process and wakening up to, like, wow, we all live in an hourglass, and none of us know when that time is going to run out. So seize the day, carpe diem, you know, say what you got to say to your loved ones, do what you got to do in your heart, do the things that you've been holding back, that you've been afraid of, live your dream, live your passion, do it, because to this day doesn't come back. Mm-hmm. And that really changed me forever, and it fired me up, and it really helped me clear through the grieving process in realizing that. And so I want to add that to the recipe.
Wonderful. That's fantastic. That's a wonderful recipe. How has becoming a relationship coach impacted you personally?
Ah, major. I love it because by being a relationship coach and helping others, I get to follow mm-hmm. my own words of wisdom, in a sense.
Yeah.
And I'm always putting myself on the litmus test and litmus paper. I'm just as human as all of us, and feel, but I work it. I work it. I work it. I turn things around, and I'm always, every day, I'm so excited for what I can learn each and every day. So I love doing this. And, you know, some people go, Carrie, man, this is hard work, you know, dealing with people's issues and stuff. I go, mm-hmm. Maybe, but for me, I love rolling up my sleeves and getting in the trenches with them and helping them.
Very true. That's wonderful. You also have a TV show airing later this year. Please tell us a little bit about what that's all about and how can we view that.
Yeah, that's going to be a great show of like little clips of, mm-hmm. of me sharing about tips and tools about relationships, and it's all going to be filmed on Kauai, mm-hmm. where I live, and so there'll be a lot of beautiful scenery behind me, and that'll be coming out later this year. The best way to find out about that is like go get the special relationship report at inloveforever.com, where I'll have, let's say, your email address, or mm-hmm. go to the Facebook address of In Love Forever, Carrie Valentine, so that when that happens, I can let you know it's happening.
Fantastic. That's
and
wonderful. Go ahead.
We have a quick mm-hmm. moment for a few
yeah.
quick tips.
Yes.
I would love to share with people, these are fun things, too, to keep the relationship juicy,
mm-hmm.
Is like on iPhones, all the apps. There's a translator app, and you
mm-hmm.
could send your loved one a beautiful love message in a different language,
mm-hmm.
and something maybe of a culture that she or he doesn't speak but is really into, let's say, Italian,
mm-hmm.
and then have them, you know, figure it out. Let them translate it. There's also great tips like a romantic app or a love tip app of the day. And then I just love movies and music, so I want to tell people for Valentine's Day as well, like,
mm-hmm.
Remember the song, your song when you first got together. What was it? As well as do you have a song today in your relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, that's a great thing. And then another great movie I want to share with people is a movie called Fireproof. And to
mm-hmm.
me, it's one of the most powerful relationship movies and turning the relationship around and real that I've ever seen. And I was
mm-hmm.
so impressed with it. And there's a book that goes along with it called The Love Dare. And that's a challenge, like a love challenge. And that's a fantastic tool for couples to work with.
Fantastic. Carrie, thank you for the great recipe for living you have shared with us just now and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be former Senate staffer turned author Jane Jones. Jane and I will be discussing about her latest book titled Capitol Hell. It is an inside look at behind the scenes and political happenings on Capitol Hill and inside the Beltway. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to FromMyMamasKitchen.com. Thank you for listening and have a blessed week. Carrie, thank you again, and have a blessed day.
Thank you so much. You too, Johnny. Look forward to hearing from everyone.
Bye-bye.